Thank you. I don't know about you guys, but after we got done praying that, you could just literally feel this room just lighten. It was like, whoa. And don't be looking way off. I believe it's coming. They are coming. And you may say, yeah, but I've been praying for years and years. Good, then you have lots of seed in the ground. And it's harvest time. Amen? I love Mark because he's always talking about suddenly. Suddenly something happens. Suddenly this happens. And that's what I'm believing for. Suddenly our families are going to be filling this place. Why not our families, right? Why not the people that we love filling this place and being with us? Amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to share with you before we get into our next scripture here. Last week we had an offering for the families in need, and I wanted to let you know we had $376 come in. Yes, that's amazing. Give the Lord a hand. That is wonderful. Great job. Way to go, church. Woo! Because that's above your tithes and your offerings. That's just, yeah, God is amazing. And he's going to bless you for it. Because what does he say? He said that the widows and the orphans, those in need, are the ones that are close to his heart. And a lot of times those are the ones that we come across are the people that are in need. And a lot of them are widows or they are orphans. And so God is going to bless us. This is true religion, is actually doing what he's called us to do. And you're doing that. So amen. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke 19. We're going to continue on with our looking at what Jesus had to say. And I know this verse might sound interesting to you because most of the text is about another man, and his name is Zacchaeus. I'll read in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' And so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it," that's the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, "they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold.'" Now listen to what Jesus says. "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So we look at Zacchaeus. He wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. And in those days, and from what his confession was later on in the text, they would collect the tax that was due the king and a little something more for their troubles, right? So they would kind of up the scale and add more to what people's taxes were. And because of their position and authority, people really couldn't argue, they just had to pay. And probably sometimes they really didn't know what the exact tax was, because these guys were the ones that were talking back and forth with the king's administrators. And so they may not know. Maybe the tax did go up and they wouldn't know. They would still have to pay the tax. And we see that, I love the fact that Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. He may not have known why he felt like he needed to see Jesus, but he knew he needed to see Jesus. So he comes and the streets are lined with people, and he's a short man of stature. I think that the Lord put that in there because he was trying to give us an excuse of why people weren't letting Zacchaeus in. But how many people know that if someone's been robbing you and you know they've been robbing you and they want to see something that's ahead of you, what are you most likely going to do? Come here, Lacey, for just a second for me. If he's standing behind Lacey and I right here, and we know who he is, and we see him come, and we're probably going to go like this. No way. You might be able to get away with a lot of other things, but you ain't seeing past me, right? And as he's going through the crowd, nobody is allowing him through. It kind of tells us a little bit about how they felt about Zacchaeus. It wasn't good, right? And so he solves his problem. He runs ahead. I love this too. He was determined to see Jesus, because when the Holy Spirit is calling someone, that first attempt may fail, but there's still going to be that thing inside them. It's going to draw them. They're going to want to be able to see Jesus. And says, so he ran ahead to a sycamore tree, which are kind of twisty and kind of have big branches that kind of go out. So they're not like our maple trees. It wasn't like he had to climb. It was these big, huge branches. So he probably climbed up a ways, but he could see. And it says that as Jesus came to that place, he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus. And I'm sure Zacchaeus went, oh, wait a minute. I'm in front of all these people here. All of a sudden, he can see me. There's nowhere to hide, right? And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today. And so Zacchaeus hurries down, and he goes to his house, and you hear the murmuring. You hear the people talking. What in the world? The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the times. Doesn't he know who this is? Come on, this is a sinner, and he's going to his house. How many times did people come to Jesus and Jesus could see their hearts? Think about the rich young ruler, right? But one thing you lack. Jesus knew their hearts, the condition of their hearts. There was something different about Zacchaeus' heart that day. And he says that after all these murmurings, that Zacchaeus stands up and he says, Lord, today I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I have taken falsely from anyone, I'm going to restore it fourfold. Whoa, not just pay them back, not just double it, four times what he took from them. He was giving back with interest. Who knew interest better than Zacchaeus? Right? He's a tax guy. He understood interest. And I love what Jesus says. He said, today salvation has come to this house. Why did he say it then? Why didn't he say it when he first walked in the door? Why didn't he say it when he told Zacchaeus to come down and Zacchaeus made haste? The reason is, up to this point, Zacchaeus' heart still loved money more than the Lord. And he stands up and he makes a confession. Does it say that he gave what he said he was going to give? No. He made a confession. That's all it took, because Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew that when he spoke, he was going to follow through. The change was, salvation came to his house when money stopped being number one. He took it off its throne and he threw it down and he put the Lord as number one. Amen? Amen. So if there are people that you're praying for today, so many times one of the biggest hiccups is finances. They put their jobs in front of God. They put the need to get more in front of God. The need to do other things because of money. Maybe go places, do things. Let's pray for salvation to come to their homes and start with their money. Right? We've talked about this before so many times. I know I don't need to tell you guys, because you guys give every time there's an opportunity to give. So I know salvation is in your homes. But so often we skip over this really important piece when we're praying for our loved ones, that money will stop being their God and that they will be set free and salvation will come to their house. Amen? Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. And that's what I'm believing for. Like Steve was saying, I've been praying more for my cousins than I ever have before. Not forgetting my aunts and uncles, but just really my heart has been for my cousins. And money is a big thrust in their lives. And when I read this, I thought, wait, I can pray a different way. And we're going to see results as the Holy Spirit draws them in. If there's that flare up where they go, oh, I want to go to church, never mind. Or maybe they come to church for a while and then they die out. Don't be discouraged. Zacchaeus kept pressing in because the Holy Spirit kept wooing him, kept calling his heart. So don't be discouraged. Keep praying. Keep standing in the gap. And let's see our loved ones be able to say, today is the day of salvation in this house. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. that is powerful and effective. And sometimes there are keys that you give us for when we're praying for loved ones or for people who don't know you or who are not in your kingdom, God. You give us keys to be able to put inside locks as we pray and they're opened. And I believe this is a key today that you have given us to pray for our unsaved loved ones or for those who maybe aren't in church or don't want to be. Father, I just thank you and I praise you that today we just see that money is losing its power over their lives. We thank you, Father, for a breakthrough. Money, as we've talked about, is a hard taskmaster. It never gives up. It's always demanding. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you today that that is broken. That love of money, that control of money is broken over every household that is represented in this church today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that like Zacchaeus, there's just going to be this all of a sudden gush of, I need to give. I need to be where the master is. I need to see Jesus. And that, Lord, you're going to begin, Holy Spirit, wooing them in. That they're going to begin wanting to be into church. They're going to be wanting to talk to us. They're going to want to fellowship with us. They're going to want to know more and more and more about Jesus and being in his presence. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Even as you orchestrated earlier in the service, Father, to pray for our unsaved loved ones, to give them to you, God, we just praise you and we thank you that they are coming in Jesus' name. Today is the day of salvation. Not afar off, not tomorrow, not years from now, but today. And we thank you and we praise you for what you've begun today, and you will be faithful to complete it. Bless every seed that is sown, Father. I pray for those who blessed the offering last week with the families in need. Multiply back to them, Father, so they'll have more to give even the next time. We just praise you, Father, that every seed that is sown is bringing forth a hundredfold harvest. I praise you, Father, for incomes like we saw with Teresa. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that there's going to be an explosion, Father, in the financial realm, that finances are going to begin coming in from places we never even we'd forgotten about. Seeds that we've sown that we've forgotten about, maybe investments that were made, or maybe there's inheritances that never made it to us, Father. Whatever it is, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. Court situations that maybe just got left on the buy side, someone's going to stand up and say, wait a minute, this was never made right. And it's going to be made right. And we just praise you and we thank you, Father, for more than enough in this church to be able to give to every good work, that we are going to be a fountain of blessing that you can flow through, Lord, to touch the lives of those around us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for that beautiful offering message. Journey with Jesus. Anybody else here on a journey with Jesus? Amen. We can go ahead and dismiss the kids on this beautiful Super Sunday. And I think we're going to be seeing the kids in a little while back in here for a little presentation or a prayer. So we'll hold you in suspense until then. Amen. Amen. I was thinking this past week, we'll get into this message in just a moment, but what a miracle church is, you know? And there's just so many different types of people in the world, so many different belief systems, and even amongst, I'm just talking about amongst Christians. Whether it's, you know, racial things or different doctrines and that kind of stuff. And to a pastor, that can seem like a daunting task to try to get a group of people together and be on the same mission, right? Be on the same page. And I was just reminded over the weekend that really, as pastors and leaders and church members, we don't have to carry the weight of that kind of stuff. Church is a miraculous thing, and it's a work of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so we appreciate each other wherever we're at in our faith. And, you know, but it all comes down to Jesus. Right? It all comes down to, who is Jesus? Is he King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Right? Born of a virgin, died on a cross, raised again 3 days later, sent the Holy Ghost. If I'm talking to you, then we're family. Amen? And that could be somebody in a Methodist church. That could be somebody in a Catholic church. That could be somebody in a Foursquare church, in a whatever. Amen? If that's the Jesus you love and serve, then we're family. Amen? But churches do have unique callings and giftings. Amen? And I'm just so glad to be doing what we're doing and called to do what we're called to do. You'll probably hear more things about faith and victory and miracles and baptism in the Holy Ghost and these kind of things. Prosperity, all this kind of stuff comes with the territory. And my job, as I see it as a pastor, is to tell you what belongs to you. Amen? And just watch Jesus be Jesus. Watch the Holy Ghost do what only the Holy Ghost can do. Amen? And yesterday, I had everything all prepared for today. And I was thinking, oh, now I can just kind of relax. And I turned on the Victory Network, and I was watching Mike Barber's broadcast. Mike Barber is a minister, a retired NFL player. And every year, he spends the week at the Super Bowl interviewing Christian players. And I was watching that, and the Lord changed the whole message today. So I said, oh, I'm not done. I have next week done, so hallelujah for that. Amen. It's also me and Shelly's 20th anniversary this week. Amen. Just a wonderful, wonderful week. Praise God. February 5th. And this being 2020, it's easy for me as a husband to remember that I got married in 2000. So I'll never have to wonder how many years I was married. And I'll tell you what, one thing I realized is that 20 years goes quick. Goes fast, amen, and it helps when you're married to Shelly, for sure, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word that you have for us. We apply the blood today. We speak the name of Jesus over this service today. We thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today as a body, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Well, I'm so glad. Is Luke in here? No, I think he's in a class today, but he brought his football today, right? And I just said, Luke, we can't be throwing the football around the hotel, but I'm glad you brought it, right? So, because today is Super Sunday, amen? And we're going to talk about winning the game of life. Somebody say winning the game of life. Hallelujah. And this is all completely inspired from what Brother Mike Barber was talking about this week at the Super Bowl. Amen. And there's a picture of him on the screen there as a player back in the, I don't know what, that was probably the 70s. And he was a tight end for the Houston Oilers before they became the Tennessee Titans. And now there's the Houston, who are they? Randy? Luke. Luke loves the Houston Texans now, right? But there he is as a minister. His main thrust is ministering in prisons. Amen. And he doesn't just go to prisons to take pictures of himself ministering to prisoners. He goes there when no one else is looking, and he ministers one-on-one to guys that, you know, we probably wouldn't feel safe walking down the street by, right? But, man, I'll tell you, when you get a big, big football player in there baptized in the Holy Ghost and just loving people, he's just got such a tender heart for people, and he's tough, tough and tender, amen? And he loves Jesus, and he just loves preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with people, but he loves football, right? And so he goes and ministers and gets great interviews with Christian athletes during this week, amen? But his thrust on his broadcast, and I posted it on our Facebook page, by the way, if you can check it out or go to the Victory Network and just scroll through and you'll see his broadcast there. His main thrust was winning the game of life, and he spent time talking to football players that love God about what is their strategy for winning the game of life, amen? And what does their faith mean to them? What does their faith in Jesus Christ mean to them? And it got me thinking, that's a great thing to be asking the church, right? What does your faith in Jesus Christ mean to you? Amen? And it's good to just have that kind of like a crock pot, always on. Somebody say, I'm always on. Because you know why? Because somebody may ask you. And I love Pastor Greg Laurie. I heard him a little brief clip of him on Christian radio this week, and he said, you know, I love going to the movies. He goes, like, I get the huge popcorn, right? And he said they just salt and salt and salt and salt, and he goes, they put so much salt on it so that you're going to have to go buy a $10 Coke, right? And he said Christians are supposed to be salty so that when someone's around you, they get thirsty for Jesus. And I thought, what a great illustration. Somebody say, I'm salty, right? I'm salty. When people are around me, they get thirsty for Jesus. And he talked about people asking, what's different about you? How come you're not stressing about all this stuff that we're all stressing out about? And how come you seem to be so peaceful? How come you always seem happy, right? It's not that you're coming at preaching at people. Amen. Sometimes there'll be opportunities to share words, but a lot of times it's just them watching our lives. Amen. I remember one of the jobs I had as a young man, I was in landscape for a summer, and my boss would show up at the job smelling like booze. he's just happy we're doing the work, right? And there was another kid with me. We were in our 20s, and this other kid was of another faith. No need to mention what the faith is. But we're working together and digging ditches. Man, some of the hardest work I ever did in my life was digging ditches for sprinklers and laying sod and all this kind of stuff. And he'd show up and yell at us and tell us what we're doing wrong and then leave. Well, one day he shows up, and this other guy, he kind of was a chatterbox that we worked with, and I'm just trying to get my job done, and he just chatter, huh? Well, whatever, you know. Well, he shows up, and he goes, I don't know how, I don't remember ever bringing this up to him. And he goes, you know what? I don't believe what either one of you guys talk about, either one of your faiths. But he goes, but if I had to pick one, I'd become a Christian. Because Steve here shuts up and works, and all you do is talk. What was happening? The Lord was ministering to, you know, don't you know the Holy Ghost, that's what we're talking about, the miracle of church. He knows how to unlock anybody. And we may not even be realizing he's working, but he's working, right? And that's what I love about ministries like this. And his son, Brandon Barber, began with this verse. And if you have your Bible, open to Hebrews 12. Somebody say, we're winning the game of life. Somebody today out there is going to win, and somebody's going to go home number two. Praise God, right? But I remember when they interviewed Patrick Mahomes when they won the AFC title, and the first thing almost out of his mouth was, we're not done yet. Somebody say, I'm not done yet. The devil might think he's got a foothold in your life, something he's been having his way on, but somebody say, I'm not done yet. This isn't over yet. Like Rocky Balboa would say, I haven't heard a bell. Right? I'm still up. A lot of the athletes will say NFL stands for not for long, because you're not going to probably last long once you get it. Well, that's something we can be telling the devil every day. Devil, you think you got your way on this planet? Somebody say NFL. Not for long. Not for long, devil. You think you got your way in my family's life? NFL. Somebody say not for long. Today's the day of salvation, right? But Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and man, I'll tell you what, I don't know what Super Bowl tickets are selling for, but last I heard, thousands to go to the Super Bowl, right? This is the commercials. We all know about the commercials, right? By the way, have your remote control in your hand, because some of them you may need to shut off. The halftime show, I'm going to turn off, because it's going to be skanky. And I'm not judging those people. I'm just saying, you ever remember the old Looney Tunes cartoon with Daffy Duck? And Daffy Duck says, not this little black duck. Right? You ain't getting into my house. I'm going to have the remote control in my hand, and I'm going to feel free to just have something else playing on a different channel. And I'll just have my own good old time. There'll be good stuff. I mean, we're not just looking for bad stuff. But man, there's some stuff we got to be you know, on our guard. Amen. Hallelujah. But man, the commercials, what is, I mean, last time I heard it was like $1 million for 30 seconds. It's probably more than that now. But man, people are forking out the money. There's bets going down. And people, I mean, there's bets on everything from what the score will be to how many times the quarterback's going to throw the ball to something about the how long they're going to sing the national anthem. It's goofy, right? But there's also people that are legitimately rooting for somebody. And they're cheering on the Chiefs or cheering on the Niners. And don't you know that you and me are in a game of life and we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses? My grandparents are in the cloud. Abraham Lincoln's in the cloud. Martin Luther King Jr.'s in the cloud, right? They're watching us, believers that have gone on before us. Kobe Bryant's in the cloud. Hard to imagine that. All that had happened this week. My. But these people are born again. They're in heaven. And now they're cheering for the rest of us to finish strong, to win the game of life. And man, we have a special guest today, and her name is Heaven. Hi, Heaven. Thanks for being here today. And heaven is where we're all going. Amen. That's glorious. There is a celebration coming, but we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Praise God. And they're cheering us on. Go, 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 go. Amen. Hallelujah. So by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I took a wildlife control test this week, and there are traps that are illegal to use in the state of Washington, and one of them is called the snare, because snares kill the animal. They don't just restrain it, they kill it. The design of a snare, and you have to have a special permit if you have to, you can't use a snare on wolves or wolverines or lynx or fishers. Fishers are like little river otter looking things, but they kill porcupines. I've been studying, doing my homework. And you can't kill them, right? Yeah, good job, Steve. Amen. But it's interesting because there are actual traps I've been studying called snares. And the devil has laid traps out there with one purpose in mind: kill. Right? He steals the word out of people's hearts so then he can come in and kill and destroy. So our job is to do what? Keep the word of God in our hearts. Amen. Keep the word of God before our eyes. Keep the word of God in our ears. Why? Somebody say, because I'm going to win. I'm going to win. And we're not talking about earning your way to heaven. If you're born again, you're in heaven. You're going to heaven. I'm talking about winning in life, winning against the devil's strategies to kill, steal, and to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody say, not me, devil, not me. I'm your worst nightmare. You come against me. You know, there's some running backs that you'll watch. Like, what's the guy from Tennessee's name, Lane? Well, yeah, Mr. Henry. I mean, Mr. Henry looks like it hurts to tackle him. He's a big dude, man. And if you're a defensive back and you see Mr. Henry, number 22 from the Titans, coming your way, you're thinking, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt him. And that's what the devil ought to feel when he looks at you. Yeah, I should take a shot, but boy, it's going to hurt. It's going to, come on, right? Amen. That's the reputation that we ought to have. Amen. So lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Somebody say it takes endurance, right? I remember a lot of the guys in the NFL will tell you, in order to get to this point in the season, it's about attrition. It's about who's healthy. A lot of teams could have made it, but they were injured, they were beat up, they got, you know, issues or whatever, and they didn't make it. Didn't make it to the big game because they're got too many things going on. But the teams that stay healthy and take care of the fundamentals are the ones that are a lot of times the last two standing, right? Amen. So run this race with endurance. That means I don't quit. Part of winning the game of life is I don't quit. Somebody say, I don't quit. There's no quit in me because Jesus isn't quitting on me. So why should I quit on me? That's my biggest challenge, is not quitting on me. Not on you, not on the word. It's because I know me. And then the Lord taught me something. He said, son, I'm not quitting on you. So what business have you got quitting on you? And I'll tell you what, that's why I'm here doing this right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now that's the key to victory right there. Somebody say one thing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, somebody say the joy. We got to remind ourselves to be smiling. This is fun winning. Winning is fun. You'll see the guys that are winning and they'll be smiling. And the guys that are losing will be, oh. I remember the year the Seahawks lost in the last play of the Super Bowl. And Richard Sherman, his face said it all. He was like, oh, what? That didn't just happen. Yes, it did. Interception on the 1 yard line. Tom Brady gets another ring. Thank you, Seahawks, right? Oh, man. But I'll tell you what, when you're winning, you got the joy of the Lord. And even if you're going through trials and tribulations and struggles, which the word says we all are going to experience, you're going to overcome that. You're overcoming that because greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. So we look to Jesus, amen, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Whenever I feel like I'm having issues or challenges, I just think of what he had to endure, right? And that he's here with me. And we've got a church praying, and we're a part of a bigger group of believers around the world, and we know how, and just read the end of the book, we already know how it ends. Glory to God. That gets me happy. Amen? It gives me some endurance. Praise the Lord. And he helps us. But the message version is the one that Brother Brandon, Mike Barber's son Brandon, was sharing, and it says this in verse 2, and I put this in your notes. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Glory to God. Amen. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, the exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Don't you love that? And that's what we've got to do. We've got to go through what he did on our behalf again and again and again, item by item. Here's why I'm not quitting, because Jesus endured this. Jesus took the stripes on his back. This is why I'm believing for healing. Jesus took the crown of thorns on his head, pierced his skull. I'm not quitting today. He took the nails in his hands, and he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. And we do a little, there's going to be some guys, if you watch out there, that'll be doing a little trash talking too. Little trash talking to the other team. And sometimes we just got to start trash talking the devil and remind him, not for long, not for long. Today's your day to go down, devil. I'm going up and you're going down. We're just passing each other along the way. Spike the ball on his head, right? Take a selfie with him on the ground, right? Amen. Praise God. So what does your relationship with Jesus Christ mean to you? Brother Mike talked to several players, and like I said, you can watch the broadcast yourself, but here's a few points I wanted to look at specifically. What does your relationship with Jesus Christ mean to you? This is what Dustin Colquitt, the Kansas City Chiefs punter, had to say. He allowed his son to die on a cross, who beat death, which makes our Christian faith special. Don't you love that? Because my God beat death. Hallelujah. And he brought up Romans 6:9. Brother Dustin did. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Hallelujah. So we just remind death and the devil and the curse has lost its cling. Amen. Our God defeated death. That makes us special. What makes you so special? Because my faith is in the one who conquered death. I'm his son. You're his daughter, his son. That makes me special. And doesn't mean you can't be special. You could be if you wanted to be. You could change teams. You could become a free agent and come on over to the winning side. Yeah, but I like this stuff on the dark side. Well, that's where you need to take a step of faith and say, you know what, even though I like some of the things the devil's doing, my flesh likes it, I'm going to, by faith, just say this. The truth of God's word, I'm going to respond to that, not how I feel today. And we have to do that in every areas of our lives as believers, right? Even though I may not feel this today, since when is it about what I feel? Faith is not about how I feel. It's about what I believe. And the feelings will follow. Amen, right? Anthony Sherman, Kansas City Chiefs running back, said this. He's left the playbook of life. He'll show you the way if you're ready to listen. He's talking about the Bible. He said, God left us the playbook of life. And he'll show you the way if you're ready to listen. I love it. Amen. Somebody say, I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. And I love the 49ers chaplain. They have a chaplain. Both teams have a chaplain. But he did a little extensive interview with Earl Smith, the 49ers chaplain. And man, what a beautiful spirit about this man. And he said this. These are some things he talked about. He talked about integrity or accountability, integrity, and responsibility, which he calls air. He said he was talking about, hey, listen, our guys aren't just encouraging each other on Saturday when we have our meeting. They have a meeting on Saturdays, the believers of the 49ers. He said they're texting each other. They're encouraging each other all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. Sharing the word with each other, encouraging each other in their faith. It's all about accountability, integrity, and responsibility, air. Don't you know you need air to survive? So these brothers are banded together helping each other, the believers on the team, right? And there's a lot of them. And Brother Earl said this, if you have those three elements, then all of a sudden you can do something special. I believe when you're asking questions of faith, when you're talking about discipleship, when you're looking to grow more, then it gets contagious. Somebody say, I'm salty. Right? Amen. And he talked about the parable of the mustard seed from Matthew 13, which says this. Looks like I messed up on the verse there a little bit. But Matthew 13, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And he talked about how he got a little bottle. And he said, the little bottle I had was empty at the beginning of the season, but every time we'd win a game, I'd drop a little mustard seed in it. And he goes, now we have, whatever he said, 15 or 14 seeds. And he said, all the guys said practically simultaneously, there's room for one more seed. Somebody say, there's room for more. There's always room for more. And in church, we got to come to church like that. Man, there's room for more in the body of Christ. This isn't Noah's Ark. Us four, no more. Right? Somebody say there's room for more in the body of Christ. And then one other finishing thought that I really enjoyed with Brother Earl is he was talking about freedom, looking for God's freedom in answers to your prayers today. Have a today mindset. Why not today? Somebody say, why not today? Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today is the day of my breakthrough. Today is the day of my miracle. Today is the day my family's coming to Jesus. Today is the day of my financial breakthrough, whatever. Amen? Don't let anybody talk you out of what you're believing God for. Nobody. Even your pastor. If a pastor gets up there, you shouldn't be. Well, if you see it in the Word and you're claiming it. Amen. No, it's between you and your Abba Father. That's why you guard who you share stuff with. Amen. Because other people might, you know, the old pearls before swine thing. They'll trample it down. Oh, you can't believe for that. Oh, what about this person? Oh, what about, oh, you selfish thing. No. It's because my Father loves me. That's why he's building a church. That's why he's building a house. That's why he's healing our bodies. Amen. Glory to God. Well, brother, as we're going to close up with these next couple thoughts here, but Mike Barber said this. He said, the game of life, that's what it's all about. To be a light for him, giving God all the glory and all the honor. And he talked about creating a passion for the gospel. Being passionate about the gospel. These guys today are going to be passionate about winning. Passionate about doing their job. Passionate about executing every fundamental they've ever learned since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. Since they picked up a football, right? They're going to be passionate about this. So we're passionate about Jesus. Passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shining a light for Jesus every day. Amen? And one thing that jumped out at me as we close is the Roman numeral for 54 to me reminds me of the word live. If you look at it, it's L-I-I-V. And it just made me think, man, live. Somebody say, I'm living. I'm living good. We can say living good. My name is Livin' Good, but I've heard Livin' Good all my life. Steve Livin' Good. Waiting at the doctor's office, Steve Livin' Good. At, you know, in the back row of science class, Steve Livin' Good. Coaches, Livin' Good. It's Livin' Good, okay? Livin' Good sounds cool, though, doesn't it? Right? And this, that Roman numeral for 54, L-I-I-V, just jumps out at me and says, live. Don't you know, if your faith is in Jesus, you will live. Everybody, speaking of Noah's Ark, everybody who got on the ark, guess what happened? They lived. And Jesus, the church, is kind of like the spiritual Noah's Ark. Because this whole thing, man, is going down, if you haven't noticed. This planet, no matter how nice your car is, it's going to burn. No matter how nice the house is, it's going to burn, man. All of it. But not me. Somebody say, not me. I'm going to live. I am going to live because my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember Brother Keith talking about Keith Moore. He said, a lot of people ask me about if I believe in global warming. He goes, actually, I believe in global burning. And it has nothing to do with the atmosphere of the planet, like many say. It has to do with the sun's positioning and all these things that are happening because of the thing that started in the Garden of Eden. This process called death that Jesus is redeeming us from. And all that is, guys, we're not even going to be here. We're going to be, if you're born again, we're in heaven during that time. We're coming back with him to a new earth. A new earth. I do a lot of jobs where they're having to remodel the whole house, and you come into the old house, and it looks like a brand new house. That's why this place is going to burn, because we're making it better. Amen. So we got to watch that we don't fall in love with the stuff on this planet. I don't love my car. I don't love my house. I'm going to eat pizza today, but I'm not in love with pizza, right? We love God. We love each other. Amen? But that word live, John 14, 19 says this, a little while and the world will see me no longer. And guess what? This is just dropping in my spirit right now. Jesus was telling his disciples and the people around him this. A little while and the world will see me no longer. Guess what, church? That's us today. Can you imagine that? I hate you, Christian. I hate you. Well, guess what? Here's an encouraging thought. In a little while, you won't see me any longer. You can have this place. Enjoy it. But aren't you glad for the grace of God that even after the rapture of the church, it's not too late? People can still, oh man, that guy was right. The word of God was right. I need to get saved. Amen. In a little while, and the world will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. Somebody say hallelujah. That's the God we serve. Aren't you grateful? Amen. Why don't y'all stand up on your feet, and we're just going to close her up in prayer today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And, hey, Randy, would you mind checking with Shelly? I think the kids had something that they were going to do, and I'm probably wrapping up a little earlier than she was thinking. Normally I'm, you know. It's funny how when there's football, the preacher ends earlier. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord today for all he's done, all he's doing, all he's going to do. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just make a fresh commitment to Captain Jesus, the captain of this team. Just say, Father God, I thank you that I'm on your team and we win. That's all we do is win. I thank you, Lord, that I'm your son or daughter, that I'm coming home. But until then, we're just going to keep winning and pointing people to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just thank him and praise him today. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We acknowledge you today. Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it now, God. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. I think the kids have one more thing they want to share with us this morning. Amen.